Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Show. Before we begin, let's hear a quick message from our sponsor.
Hello, HR. It's me, your HR data. And I need to apologize. I'm sorry for being all over the place. I'm sorry for being difficult. I'm sorry for not being there for you. But it's not my fault. You put me in different HR systems and messy spreadsheets. But guess what? I now have a new friend, and their name is Employee Cycle. They can put all of me in one HR dashboard for you and keep me updated and simple so we'll better understand each other. Look, we're smarter when we're working together, so if you want me to show you my full potential, please go to employeecycle.com to get your free demo today. That's employeecycle.com.
And welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host for today, Bruce Marable, CEO of the all-in-one HR analytics dashboard company Employee Cycle. And today we have a very special guest that is going to talk about how to get the most from your HRIS system. All of you out there pretty much know what an HRIS is, and you probably have one. And I'm going to suggest that you're probably not using it to the fullest potential. So please help me welcome Senior Manager of Strategic Partners at Namely, Paul Martin, to the podcast. Woo!
Oh. Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me, man. Really excited to speak with you and hopefully bring some insights to the listeners.
That's awesome. And this is your very first podcast.
It is. This is my first time. First time doing a podcast. Long time listener, friend of the pod, excited.
Nice. So I'm super honored to be your first. This is great. To answer the question that we always like to ask our guest on the pod, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my history is I've always worked for SaaS companies. I started off working for a company down in DC when I lived down there called Cvent. And Cvent was not in the HR space. They were actually in the enterprise event space. But I learned a lot about SaaS, obviously. I was in the partnership function, so I learned a lot about strategic relationships, learned a lot about building integrations and growing technology ecosystems. But I've always had an interest in people, managing talent, and in particular with the way that the technology industry was moving data and how you can use data to better inform strategic decisions. And so after a good amount of time there on the team at Cvent, we took the company public through an IPO, which is really exciting. Also learned a lot about what answering to the street, so to speak, what that was like. I thought it was time to maybe make a switch. And so I evaluated a lot of different product categories, and I saw a ton of growth in the HR space. And my thoughts always when looking at product market fit when it comes to SaaS in general was to find companies, and I was always intrigued by companies that were building a product that was a requirement of a business. It's something that seems very simple, but it's often overlooked. At the end of the day, the economy is cyclical, goes up and it goes down. So inevitably, when the economy does go through some kind of a downtrend, businesses are going to cut products and features and functionality and systems that are not essential to their growth and to their, you know, future success. And so that's really, I kind of moved into the HR space through the lens of a SaaS person or of a technologist, so to speak. And like I said, HR was a space that was constantly growing. There's many technology companies doing really interesting things. And it also checks the box of being a very essential component of in an organization, its success and its future growth. And so I came on Namely, which was a fast growing technology company at the time. I came on board, I was around employee 80 or 90. They had just raised, I think, their Series B. We were in temporary offices spread all around New York City in multiple boroughs. And I took a little bit of a risk moving from an established publicly traded software company, but I made the switch Learned a lot in my years here, namely on the HR space. We create all kinds of great content. I've been able to connect with tons of experts. I certainly don't fancy myself an expert yet, but it's something that I've become very passionate about. And I think it shows in my personal work, in the partner ecosystem we've grown here at Namely, and I think even at the overall success of Namely. And so it's been a really, really fun ride making the switch. And I think Namely, you know, we're doing the right thing. We've got focus on really important areas of growth for our clients. And I think it's going to be continue to be an exciting ride.
And for those who aren't familiar with Namely, can you please just give us a quick 60-second overview of what you guys do?
Absolutely. So Namely, we are an all-in-one HR platform. The highest level company mission statement is we've built an all-in-one HCM platform for growing businesses to better manage their employees and their workplace. On the product side, what we've really built out is HR, payroll, and benefits, which we look at as being the core operational component of a company's HR function. And then the type of businesses that we work with are mid-market growing businesses. We'll work with companies anywhere from 15 or 20 employees all the way up to a few thousand, because we think that that is honestly where the HR technology market has kind of underserved those businesses. You tend to find that there are great products for small businesses in their early stages of growth. There, of course, are some really great enterprise providers that everybody knows at the Fortune 500 level. But in the middle, it's really difficult for a business at a very key stage in their own person, in their own success and their own growth, to find a solution that's really tailored to their needs. And so our goal has been to work with those companies that are in the mid-market segment that have outgrown the processes and the functions of a small business, but they're not quite at a level where they can operate globally at an enterprise level, and really help them better manage their people, better manage their workplace, and ultimately grow their future success.
Nice. And you're managing partners there, making sure that Namely is a part of the larger HR tech ecosystem, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you know this, and I imagine the listeners do as well, but the HR tech space is crowded with all kinds of different products, all sorts of different systems, whether they're platforms, whether they're point solutions. And I think that presents a really great opportunity. I don't want that to sound derogatory at all. I think the fact that the HR tech ecosystem is so rich is a really exciting thing. It's something that I think HR orgs and companies should be focused on. And they should realize that, you know, a product can't be everything to everybody. And sometimes it really makes sense to evaluate a specific category that maybe you haven't used a product in, or maybe a function that you haven't really focused on as an HR person. And so my job here is that Namely is we've obviously built out a really great core platform in HR, payroll, and benefits, but there is a wide blue ocean of all kinds of complementary products. And I'm tasked with finding out what the market is using, finding out what our clients are asking for, finding out what HR people are excited for in terms of different products in the HR space, and building out strategic partnerships, building out strategic integrations with those companies and those products, so that we can empower our customers to better use Namely at the same time as their entire HR tech stack.
Nice. So our topic for today is how to get the most from your HRIS. So for those HR listeners or people who may not be in HR, let's talk about what is an HRIS, what does it do, and why should a company have one?
Yep. So HRIS stands for Human Resources Information System. It's a little bit of an older school phrase, but I think it really echoes what a core functionality of an HR org is within a company. And it's making sure that you can easily manage your human resources, which your people is a company's most important and most precious asset. And it takes the idea of managing your people and integrating into the different business processes and data that you've got across your different company, right? So I think sometimes people think HRIS and they just think people data, but I think a key component of an HRIS is taking that people data and combining it with all the other data that you're collecting across the company and utilizing across the company and framing that within existing business processes. So I always like to think to myself that while human resources is in that title HRIS, it's actually a much broader sweeping platform because of the larger implications that an HRIS has to a company's growth and a company's business processes.
Got it. And what size company do you think is best to use an HRIS? Or if I'm an HR leader listening and I may be on the smaller end, when should I start to think about making an investment in an HRIS?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's kind of the million-dollar question too. The first response will be a little bit of a cop-out. It's going to be a political answer, and I'll say it really depends, right? Every business is different. Every business is obviously in its own unique industry. Every business has its own history, its own processes, and obviously its own future growth aspirations. And so it really does depend on each individual company. If I had to give an answer, though, I would say when you hire your first full-time person devoted to HR, or where you feel you're at a point where you could have a single person focused on just the human resources function, that's really when an HRIS becomes key. And in our experience, that usually picks up at the 10 to 20 employee range, right? Because at the end of the day, and it, again, I'm going to make some generalizations, so don't necessarily hold me to it. But when you're a smaller business, let's say under 10 or 20 employees, sometimes whoever the lead is, whether it's a CEO, a president, the owner of the business, it's still their baby and it's still an infant baby, so to speak. And they're at a point where they can still kind of manage their entire employee base. They can manage all the data that goes into not only their employees, but the human resources function, and they can handle it, right? But as soon as whoever that lead is feels as though they need to bring someone on full time, that person who is just going to focus on HR and on people really needs a system that they can live and breathe in. And the analogy that I'll make is, can a company that has a sales team live without Salesforce, right? Which is the pioneer of SaaS and one of the best known kind of SaaS platforms out there. Of course, a sales team can be successful without a CRM and without a product like Salesforce. But eventually, a team hits its capacity and hits its critical mass where they can't call all the leads, they can't manage the relationship with all the existing clients manually, and they can't just do it themselves on an individual level. And at some point, they need to take on a tool to better manage their prospects and their clients. And so I think it's very similar to how the HR function should look at an HRIS, which is that's a system they will live in, breathe in every single day. That's where they log in as soon as they get into work. That's where they log out as soon as they leave work. And so they need a system that can empower them. So I'd say when you get a full-time HR person is the simpler answer there. If we put an employee size on it, I'd say 10 to 20 employees is where it, when it really becomes mission critical.
And then what happens when that full-time HR person or someone in the org who wants to or can now manage HR wants to go to the CEO or the CFO or whoever the financial decision maker is and say, hey, we need an HRIS, and they're not really getting it because they don't work in HR or they don't really see the value. So can you help the HR listeners out there who are now trying to get an HRIS into their company and they see the value, and maybe they came from a previous company that had one, but they're having difficulty showing the ROI to make a purchase like this?
Absolutely. That is another really great question. And again, kind of the riddle that always needs to be answered in these situations. I think what it comes down to is it comes down to making that HR person more efficient. It comes down to creating an experience when employees feel a little bit more empowered and focusing on the idea of taking data, aggregating it at the executive level. I'd say those are three things that should be focused on and quantified as best as possible when you're making that kind of claim to whoever the executive leadership is that I need to justify getting an HR system, right? Efficiency is just the name of the game with software. That's why software exists. It's to make people and functions and companies and organizations operate more efficiently. So you've got to make a case that really lives up to the fact that with a system like this, I'm going to be able to do X, Y, Z at a much faster rate. Generally, for an HRIS, it has to do with onboarding employees or managing employee data in a more efficient fashion. The second thing was focused on the employee experience, right? I've mentioned this already, but people are a company's most important asset. And so being able to talk about how using an HR system is going to improve the employee experience, it'll focus on employee engagement and employee empowerment, which are all really important parts of the HR function nowadays. That's another key metric and a key data point that should be built into a business case. And then the third thing, like I said, is this idea that it's going to kind of power the future growth of the company. I think that's, you know, the simplest forward-looking statement that can be made. It's going to allow us to grow in a more defined way, in a more efficient way.
So I've looked at a bunch of different HRIS systems. I figured out how much they cost. I got the budget for it. I've now implemented this system into my organization and everybody is set up. How do I make sure that I'm actually getting the most ROI out of my system? What are some of the things that I definitely should be doing to make sure that I'm leveraging my HRIS the most?
Yeah, I think benchmarking is really key there. And you and I were talking just, you know, before jumping on the pod about this, but I think that HR is an industry where HR practitioners of any level, they're really passionate. And that's how you get into the people business, right? You know, you can't be an unhappy person and be working with your company's employees every day, because that's just, you know, it would make it pervasive, right? So generally, HR practitioners are really passionate. They're really open. They're focused on this idea of sharing insights and sharing positive experiences and negative experiences, and essentially just this idea of community mindshare. And so I think a really key aspect of driving the ROI is being able to tap into whoever your network is, finding out what their experience has been like, finding out what how you can benchmark against their success, and using that as a way of measuring your own ROI. ROI obviously inherently is very personal and unique, because you're measuring it against your own success, where you've been, where you're trying to go, and kind of your rate of success against that. But I think that HR is a space where it's really important to benchmark yourself against companies that are similar in terms of industry, in terms of size, in terms of growth rate. And tapping into your personal network is a great way to help build that ROI case and find points where you can compare, hopefully favorably, to different companies that are similar to yours.
So when you started talking about benchmarking, you led me into my next question, which is about which metrics I should be tracking and what data I should be tracking in my HRIS. So I'll couple it with the benchmarking. What should I be tracking in my system? And then what data point should I be using for benchmarking?
Yeah, I'd say the holy grail, particularly in an HRIS, is tracking headcount growth, right? That in HR is a very basic data point, but it's really key to kind of tracking the success of a company. Turnover is really key as well. That's another number that I think every company should be focusing on. And then anything around the idea of employee engagement and employee satisfaction. It's kind of similar to use another function to make an example of an NPS score, which is how a client success org might rate the satisfaction of their client base with the product or the service or whatever it is that they're providing. There's an important way of measuring the employee score of their satisfaction with the company. And what's great about that is you can measure it at all different levels, with your manager, within your function or your team, at the company level, at the executive level. An example of this is we do it internally here at Namely. And one of the data points that they collected on being a high growth millennial population startup, we measure the satisfaction of the snacks is a data point that we measure very specifically, right? And it seems silly, but those are things that all kind of aggregate. And it's the idea of taking the score of the employee satisfaction with different functions in the company and then correlating that data to the prior two points that I made, which is employee turnover and headcount growth. I think those are three really key data points that are tracked within Namely and other HRIS products that a company should be, again, measuring at their own unique internal levels, but also benchmarking against their peers, their competitors, or any other company that they're able to bring into their network to go that benchmarking route.
Not that you really care, but the next time I stop by the office, you can definitely get my review on your snacks.
We'll set it up. We'll have you come in. We'll administer the survey after you've had your choice of the snacks. For the record, I think we've got a great mix of snacks. My one thing that I always give feedback on is we've got to have more fresh and healthy snacks, right? There's only so many Kind bars that you can eat. Fresh fruit, fresh vegetables is a welcomed respite from some of the more processed foods that are usually offered as snacks. We'll see what you think, though.
As long as you don't have La Croix, everyone loves that in every tech office I visit or go to, they have it and they're very proud of it. I think it's terrible. I think people like to drink it because of the name, because it just sounds fancy. But, you know, that's just me.
I got to plead the fifth on that one. on a personal level, I'm with you, but I'll plead the fifth on whether we have a Fort Knox-esque stock in our kitchens.
Got it. So I think I read a stat somewhere. I don't even know if it's a true stat, but it seems to be true when I think about technology and software in general, where most people only use 15 to 20% of the features or functionality of any mobile app, any software product, or pretty much anything technical. So what are some of the things that you think are the most valuable non-core features and functionality of an HRIS that people would get a lot more value from, but that you think a lot of people aren't using, maybe because they're just not used to using it or because it's maybe embedded deeper into the system?
Yeah, that is actually a really good question that I might kind of flip on its head. I think that relates really well to the idea, particularly in Namely's case, I think, of having an open ecosystem, is that an HRIS, you know, like I said, it can't be everything to everybody. An HCM platform really can't be everything to everybody. And so what I think is the correct strategy there is to focus on core operational functionality that the operations team within an HR function needs to operate, which in this case, we at Namely have defined it as HR payroll and benefits, but then open up your platform to then play nicely and integrate with a vast menu of complementary solutions. So I'd say that it's not necessarily that there are obscure features and functionality within an HRIS, because I think by nature an HRIS should be very core, very simple and intuitive to use, and tackle all of the really big, major functional aspects of an HR org. And instead, an HRIS should play nice and integrate with all of those different more obscure functionality, whether it's something, and I don't want to make a specific product category defined as obscure, so we'll say complementary. Examples of this would be health and wellness or financial wellness or employee recognition and engagement, employee feedback and performance. These are all ideas that there should be core functionality of that within an HRIS to a certain degree, but there's a reason why there are really rich ecosystems of some really innovative and great products in each of those categories. And it's because there is a wealth of functionality that a company can tap into. And so our mantra has been actually move away from building out too many functionality and feature requests that are, quote, obscure, to bring it back to the question, and instead integrate with those complementary products that can tackle those needs in a much more meaningful way for an HR org.
Nice. So we've been talking a lot about how does HR get the most from the system, but how does HR and people leaders out there make sure that their employees get the most out of the HRIS as well?
Absolutely. That I think is what, in my opinion, has been one of the more exciting things that has happened in the past few years in the HR tech space, which is this idea of empowering employees to go into the system and engage with it, right? Because that is the key. Any system is only as good as its utilization rate. And so everything that we build here at Namely, every feature that we add, every module that we bring onto the platform, everything is always thought about how can we get employees to actually engage with this. And so it seems pretty simple, but just the idea of building a platform that is modern and intuitive and is an enjoyable user experience, I think is so, so key here. HR sometimes, and even in the HR tech space, is thought of as almost kind of a back office function. And so what you find is that some of these systems, you log into it and you feel like you're on an MS-DOS program. You know, like there's a green screen that you're typing into, not that far, but that's the feel that you get. And so what we've set out as soon as we built our platform from the ground up was, how do we make this an elegant and an enjoyable modern user experience so that employees aren't hesitant and they aren't bothered when they engage with the platform? Instead, they are excited and they're enthusiastic about it because they know it's going to be simple. They know when they go into the system, it feels more like the UI of a Facebook or a LinkedIn than an Excel spreadsheet or some kind of back office old school ERP, for example. And so I think just that core idea of getting employees excited about using the system, making it a very modern experience, is key for increasing that engagement, which is key, obviously, for utilization, and then becomes really important when you think about the idea that every interaction that an employee has with the system is, one, a great experience for them, but two, for HR, it's more data that's being aggregated for their use, which they can then use to inform strategic decision-making in the future.
You talked about HR pretty much consistently being perceived as a back office function. So can an HRIS in a specific use case of an HRIS help a people leader become more strategic or perceived as more strategic and more of a business partner of the company versus that back office paper pushing, like non-essential role that some CEOs and companies, actually maybe a lot of CEOs and companies, try to position HR to be?
Absolutely. It really, what it comes down to is kind of what I hit on in the beginning, which is an HR function, an HR leader needs a system that they can turn to, that they, again, can live and breathe in every day, and that they can own. And it becomes their platform for empowering them in any capacity, whether it's day-to-day tactical decision-making, all the way up to this idea of getting a seat at the table, being on the executive team, a chief people officer, and having a team behind them to back it up. I think if you're not using a modern system, if it isn't a system that you as a people leader are happy to use every day and that you're comfortable with and that you feel empowered to lean on, then it really becomes difficult to move out of what could be perceived, particularly historically, as a back office function and move it to the forefront. Because everything is already moving in that direction. If not, it's already been in that direction, right? Which is that, again, people are your most important function. A modern company needs to have an enjoyable and an engaging employee experience in order to succeed. And so HR has already made that shift from the back office and to, you know, the having a seat at the table. And so having a system that can back up all of those strategic insights is so, so key, because you've probably experienced this. I've experienced this. The listeners have experienced this when they've had a great idea or they have an initiative that they'd like to go out there in any different function. And when you go to an executive, or you're looking for executive sponsorship, or you're trying to bring it company-wide, a modern company, the first thing they're going to say to you is, let's see some data. Let's get an idea. Let's build this out. Let's mock this up. And if you don't have a system that's been aggregating all that data, or if you don't have a system that you can really easily get access to all that information to make the business case, then you're in trouble. It's either going to take you a long time and it's going to decrease the rapidness that you can come up with those new initiatives, or it's going to make it so that you just hit a wall and the new initiative can die.
And then last question of this section, when it comes to picking an HRIS, I know you're a little biased, so we won't necessarily talk about namely per se, but when a people leader or an HR leader is out there looking for a system, what do you think is the single most important thing that they should think about when considering what HRIS system they're going to use?
That is a really good question, Bruce. I'll say this, and I won't focus on namely here. I'll look at the industry and the space as a whole. But I think that what's really key here is first checking the boxes that, operationally speaking, It's got all of the, quote, power under the hood that you need in order to run your company and run your HR org. And what I mean by that is got all the functionality that you need for payroll or all the functionality you need for benefits. And it's got all of the correct workflows for managing employee data or time off or whatever the specific, we'll call it, feature need is. I think what's really key nowadays is checking the boxes there for any system that you're evaluating, but always coming back to that employee experience. Always coming back to the idea of, is the system going to be utilized? Is it a system that lends itself to a simple, enjoyable user experience for my employees? Or is it something that's going to be shirked and pushed to the back and not engaged with so that I, as an HR person, then need to pick up the slack and start doing things on behalf of my employee? Or I have now this whole new thing where I need not only to roll out new processes on this HRIS, but I then need to play cheerleader and constantly force or constantly encourage people to engage and actually go through with whatever this initiative or this workflow is. I think it's something that's often overlooked because an HR org and its operations is mission critical to a company, right? If you don't have a well-structured and even more specifically an experienced and thoughtful head of HR, then your company is really doomed to fail. And so making sure that all the operational needs are met sometimes can be a little bit distracting. And it sometimes can become the focus of the evaluation rather than also thinking to yourself, what is the employee self-service end user experience like so that I can ensure that I as the admin can handle everything, but also the employees are excited to use the system.
That was awesome. So now we're going to go to my favorite section of the podcast, which is a lightning round I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous, where I ask you a real question, a random question, and a ridiculous one. So are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. So the real question, I don't think we ever spoke about this, but I am a self-proclaimed bread pudding connoisseur. So I always like to ask my guests, do you like bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Ooh, okay. So here's my answer. I like bread pudding. I wouldn't consider myself a connoisseur nor an expert. But I'm not familiar with the many different ways of making bread pudding. Give me an idea. Like, what are my options here? Is it like, you know, there's three different styles or something that I can choose from?
There's a lot. So you have banana bread pudding. You have different types of fruit that can be in it. Raisins, no raisins, maybe chocolate syrup, Irish cream. You have brioche bread pudding. It comes in a million different ways.
All right. Then I'm going to say I'm a purist. I feel like I might not have had anything with any of those fancy bells and whistles. Nothing beyond maybe raisins. But I'd say I'm a purist.
Okay. Next time I'm in New York, we're getting bread pudding.
Oh, yeah. There's a place in New York. I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically a small shop and all they do is make bread pudding.
Oh, you are.
We'll be there.
Oh, man.
Sounds like we need to have a meeting there.
You become one of the top guests. Already. Already. Just with that one thing. Amazing.
Yeah.
The random question. What's your favorite?
That wasn't the random question. Wow. Let's do it.
That was not the random question. That was a real question. I'm crowdsourcing my bread pudding places all across the country. That was a very real question. So the random question. What's your favorite blog? What do you like reading about?
Yeah, great question. I really love Axios. You've probably heard of them. They're kind of the microblog or the news site. They have a specific section that's called the Future of Work that I really, really enjoy. I think it's really interesting. And of course, being in the HR space, it's so easy to just get caught up in some of the minute details of what goes into, we'll just call it the people function for a business. Yep. But when you then bump it up and you start to look at the macro perspective of just the workforce and the workplace and how businesses are growing in the United States and globally, it's really, for me, really interesting because I'm a self-professed or maybe just a kind of a closet nerd. And I think it's so interesting to be able to kind of connect the dots, even if it's not necessarily a widely accepted or even a very intellectual way, but just connect the dots in your own personal way of what you work on in your day-to-day, but how it relates to the bigger picture of the future of a modern company's work and how businesses grow. So I'd say I'm a big fan of that section of the Axios blog.
Nice. And then the ridiculous question. I know you're not directly in sales, but you still do talk to a lot of customers. So I'm curious if you've heard any ridiculous reasons as to why a company say that they do not need an HRIS system.
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say I don't have a really unique one. So I'll preface it by saying, unfortunately, it's not going to be the most funny or the most random. But I always really, I think in today's modern world, companies that are hesitant to use an HR platform or an HRIS because they're uncomfortable with putting their data in the cloud, I just think that's a little bit silly. And I know that some of the hacks and some of the news that has come up recently with data security and things along those lines might make a case against this. But the future of technology and the future of modern businesses is in the cloud, and it's using SaaS. And there's only so far that you can go with your own homegrown system or your own on-prem system or offline system. And so I always think it's a little bit silly and maybe a little bit myopic when companies just choose not to use a system that's born in the cloud, so to speak.
Got it. Paul, this has been an awesome episode. Woo!
Hey, thanks, man. It's been really good speaking with you. I know it took a little while to get it scheduled. I apologize, but hopefully it was worth it, worth the wait.
It was worth every minute. No worries. So where can people find you and Namely online?
Yes. So they can come. So please add me on LinkedIn, Paul Martin. I work at Namely. You can search me there. Our website is namely.com. Particularly, you can go to namely.com/partners if anybody is in the HR tech space and would be interested in maybe putting together a partnership or learning more about our platform. The other thing that I think is really great for all of the listeners out there, blog.namely.com is our blog. And our tagline there is building the future of HR. We put out really amazing content. We work with companies in the HR tech space, like Employee Cycle. We'll probably work on some content in the future. We work with our partners. We work with HR industry orgs. And we really want to put out as much interesting and compelling content as possible to, again, help the HR space and help people leaders build the future of HR. So blog.namely.com is where I'd send everybody to learn a lot more about some of the creative things we're putting out there content-wise.
That's awesome. Thanks for providing those links, and we'll be sure to put all of them in the show notes. So everyone listening, I really hope you love this episode. Paul had a lot of awesome things to say. If you did, please go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you have any constructive criticism, notes, or feedback, or anything about us, please leave comments. We love to read them so we always can become better. And if you aren't already, please make sure that we are downloaded on your favorite podcast player. And also, stay tuned for the next episode. So, all you people leaders out there, remember to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.